With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to Crunch Time, Azito. Over 100 tools for your home and garden. Do it yourself. Do it with Azito. Do you. After a new Ranger or F-150, head over to Freeway Ford Cranbourne and test drive one today.
So they came out after half time, kicked 4 goals in a row, put a bit of a gap on us, and you know that momentum can be hard to arrest away from home. You know, when the Crows have got their tails up. So, you know, I thought it was a really good game of footy. I thought Crows held up their end of the bargain, and so did we. And, you know, went down right to the wire and could have gone either way. But I'm pretty comfortable saying that our players, you know, deserve the end result.
Essendon coach Brad Scott, the Bombers by 3 points at Adelaide Oval last night. They're 4-2. Robert Shaw's chimed in, so he was the Fitzroy coach in the murder game. He's chimed in with, the footy gods bus has a very big turning circle. 33 years in the making. Oh, we can laugh on this side of the border. All right, the Bombers and what they were able to do last night. Luke Hodge, what did you see?
We spoke earlier about Adelaide and the entertaining. I reckon Essendon are an entertaining team. We've watched them a number of times this year. You look through some of the players, Merritt, Caldwell, Gresham, Stringer's been excellent. But I see a bit of life and a bit of belief in that side. Their pressure has been through the roof. That was noticeable last night. But you sort of sit back at halftime. The game should have been over at halftime. It was 33 inside 50s to 16, and they had a 5-point lead. Their ability to convert, and they've been really good prior to that. Once they've been so efficient going inside forward 50 so far this season, but it really hurt them last night, which kept Adelaide in the game. But I think Brad Scott would be walking away going, he's got so much to work with. They've got so many players in that team that you sit back that are playing good football, but they can only get better. Gresham, like, this is the first preseason Gresham's done in a number of years, and you can just see the spark that he has. He had 26 last night, had 6 clearances, was able to push up high into the midfield to have an impact. You sort of look at Essendon and go, they're going along quite nicely at the moment.
They are. I'd say the biggest thing that hit me last night was the organisation of their deep three, or their closest three to their own goal, the defensive guys. Mackay, Laverty, McGrath swooping, Martin swooping, Redmond. Just their organisation behind the ball. So when you look at the numbers, so they've had 50 intercepts. They've won the ball back 50 times between the arcs. Mm. If you go back the last 6 years, so 120-odd games of footy for Essendon, they've only had better than that 3 times.
This has been their key flaw, hasn't it?
It has. So they've worked tirelessly on that through the summer. I was out there watching it through the preseason, and it didn't come through in the first month of footy. It was a mess. We called it a mess because they were out of sorts, they were out of position, and it made them look awful as a footy team. They just couldn't defend. But it was rigid last night. So they had enough heat on the ball. Hodgie just touched on the pressure then. They had enough heat on the Crows trying to bring the ball out of their back 50 to just dump it long. And then you just saw them regularly just make their way back to the footy, build again, build again, build again. So in the end, the Crows have 16 inside 50s because they can't move the ball. So there's an element of game day, that one-off coaching in that. But I think if they can hang on to that, this is the first time we'll see Essendon with a rigid defensive plan. We haven't seen that for years. So you've got to acknowledge that. That's a huge number. 50. The AFL average is about 36, 37. So it's well and truly over that. And to get that reward, I'm sort of glad for Essendon they won that game, because it's hard to fuel this defensive model if you're not winning. Because players go, oh, we're doing everything right. Mm. They tell us we're doing everything right. We're still not winning. You know, like, so I think it's a good result for them, Hodgie, in terms of building this defensive system.
Yeah, well, I think they had 51 tackles at halftime. That's most tackles in about 6 or 7 years to that stage of the game. But it's their intent, it's their mindset. And I think that's what Scotty brought in last year. He knew that there was parts last year, Essendon have always been able to transition the ball or move the ball quickly to score. But it's the grit and the want. Like, you look at Caldwell last night, 10 tackles, Durham 9, backed up after what he did last week. Even Jake Stringer, he's buying into that side of the game. Yes, we talk about Jake Stringer and his goals and his power and his burst taking on the tackler, but his intent to want to chase and tackle, and it's probably led there by the skipper. We've spoken about time and time again.
Hobbs was good too.
Yes, this is the best part. With Essendon, normally it would be like one or two blokes that you could talk about in the past that are consistently having a crack to put on that defensive pressure. We're now going through 7 or 8, and this is jumping off topic, but I just saw his name then. But Harrison Jones, he's someone who he gives everything. A couple of contests that he had last night where he would be up the ground, next thing you'd see him flashing inside forward 50 just because he knows that's his role to go and create a contest to bring it to ground. It looks like they're all trying to buy into what Scotty's doing. Are they playing pretty football all the time? No, not all the time, but that's a part of their development. It's a part of them learning. Scotty's had him for 18 months, and you can sort of start to see what he's trying to bring with this group.
Said a couple of weeks ago, and so I've given Essendon some clips over the last month, but we've stood up for the captain. I think he's done an amazing job in trying circumstances. Very hard when your club's struggling, as a overall club, not just on field, to be the guy, to be the man. And every time I watch him, his defensive actions lead the group, the rundown tackles, the wants to shift the course of the game, to impact scoring, to not accept that there's a down the line kick. He wants more. He'll bring the ball into the corridor. He'll run and carry. He'll go that extra yard for the team. And I think I've said it a couple of weeks ago, I still think he's the best captain in the comp right now in terms of delivering upon what he needs to do, not just game day, but during the week, and trying to shift the course and lift the standards at Essendon. No one trains harder. No one leads better in the game right now than Zach Merritt.
I feel like Sam Durham's past two weeks have been profound.
Good call.
They haven't had and what he might represent to them. If that's his level now, and you think about his journey to get there, I'm struck by him now. If you'd said, what's the piece they need in the middle? It's Sam Durham. Yeah. And I don't know whether they thought they were going to get it out of him, but gosh, that's been a couple of good weeks.
I think that shows his hunt mentality, though, because last week it was the Bont. It was, you're going after the Bont, you need to shut him down. He had flexibility. Last night when he was on Dawson at times, he still had that hunt mentality, being physical with him, trying to push him to certain positions that the skipper didn't want to go. But I think that's the mindset that they need to keep bringing as a midfield, is go and hunt the opposition, and then their natural flair, speed and ability will be able to come out on top of that, because what they've done the last 2 weeks in the midfield has been pretty impressive.
They're out there, Jared. He's one of those mid-season picks.
Yeah.
They're out there. Everyone keeps telling me, oh, there's not enough talent around the globe at the moment to, you know, bring in an extra team or to rebuild or to do this or to do that. They're there. You know, we talk a lot about John Newcombe being that type of guy as well for Hawthorn. So players are there. You've just got to get them to the level with their fitness and educate them a fraction, because it's a different game. In the suburbs, Hodgie, the AFL game is a different game in the burbs than it is of a weekend at AFL standard, with the spatial, you know, defending and all that sort of stuff. But no, he's been a steal. In a lot of ways, Adrian Dodoro has done better with those picks than he has his first round selections.
Yes, Hodgie.
Got one for you, Kingy. Your coach of Essendon, this week they got Wright coming back in. He's been your main goal kicker with Langford the last couple of years. Jones, who I just spoke about, who has been exceptional, doing that selfless work rate, bringing the ball to ground. And then they got Goldie and Draper. Can they play the three of them and bring Wright back in? Or is it one of the ruckmen or Jones? Who would you leave out of those four blokes if you're bringing Wright back in?
I think they got Goldstein for this period to bridge through the early weeks of the season, to get Draper to full fitness because he had an impacted off-season, and Peter Wright as well. So I think Goldstein would be the one that would make way, and your second ruck becomes a mix of Jones and maybe even Wright if you want to run him a little bit. But I think Goldstein, naturally. I mean, you're still in the development phase for young Jones. You can't be dropping Jones after what he's shown the last couple of weeks.
So I was thinking, you've got me fixated on Sam Draper now, just thinking back over his night. I'm not sure the frog splash was even the dumbest thing he did in the single game. The little toe poke when they'd gone 21 points up and he gives away the 50-metre penalty, kicking the ball away, and it changes the whole momentum of the game. Then a bit, it felt old school. Now, I'm sure they'll say rotation, but it felt old
school.
How long? He sat for 12 minutes for the rest of the second quarter on the bench.
Cool.
A little, it felt to me like naughty corner.
Oh, really?
That, don't be doing that again. And then he started the third quarter in the ruck, which was a bit of now go and make amends. And then their plan, or they clearly like Draper versus Borlase.
Yeah.
And they tried it all night. And it didn't work, it didn't work. And then he finally takes the pack mark.
Big hanger, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then doesn't kick the goal.
No, he reverted back to the
probably norm. Just as well they won when you think back over the catalogue.
That's him, though, isn't it?
It is.
That is. This is why we talk about these guys all the time. They have a happy knack of being the guy in these situations to cock things up for your team when you've done it all. For 120 minutes, you're steering beautifully, and then he does what he does.
Hey, but at the end of the day, he won the game for him.
He did.
I'm happy to say. I reckon it's high IQ, not low IQ. I reckon it was genius for him. He got away with it. They got away with it. I reckon it was high IQ to disguise. Just nod off for a couple of seconds on top of the pill.
You have a low threshold of genius.
So what does it give him a chance at, Hodgie? They're 4-2, right side of the ledger with Anzac Day, which is such a big occasion. Those games can exist in their own subset. For a team that I reckon talked small target for the most part coming in, they've given themselves a hope here.
Yeah, they have. And I think you look back at last year, we were talking them up middle of last year, but then I think it was about round 17 when Scotty came out and said, we're not fit enough, we're not strong enough, we need to continue to work and grow. And I think they've improved a lot. Like, they had the mindset shift in the off-season for a group of players to go away on a camp that they paid for rather than going on a footy trip. I think that's starting to show out that there is real buy-in, and we're seeing that with offense and defense. They're still in the development phase. Are they going to mix it with the top four or five in the league at this stage? Probably not. But I think as an Essendon supporter, what they've seen, the fight, the pressure, the belief that the players have, I reckon it's going to give them a lot of confidence there that they're striving to jump into that top eight, because what are they now? They're snuck in with the win, sitting 4-2. But as we said, Anzac Day next week, there's no bigger than that for the Essendon Football Club to sort of see how far have they come.
Not a horrible draw either, Jared. So West Coast after that, admittedly over in Perth. The Giants back here, North Melbourne after that, and then Richmond back at the MCG, of course, for Dreamtime. So a bit of a mixed bag, chance to get a real foothold in the season.
They should be the right side of the ledger for a long way from here,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, they should be. And you know, you look at their profile, they've still got a lot of work to do defensively. That's the best I've seen them last night. So if that is going to be them, then we'll talk about them differently. But
edge.
They're bottom two or three in the comp for being able to defend ball movement from the opposition and those sorts of things. You know, defensive 50 hasn't been at its best this year, but it's you got to adjust with the evidence. So good performance last night. Let's see if it stays.
Good win for the Bombers and eventful night at Adelaide Oval. We'll look back to Thursday nights and how that recasts the fortunes of a couple of teams as well. Today is Super Saturday thanks to Super Groups. It's the biggest Saturday of the AFL season so far. It starts here at the MCG after crunch time, Collingwood and Port Adelaide. Then it moves over to Marvel for the Blues and the Giants, who meet at the most perfect time given the circumstances of each. And then the mouth-watering doubleheader to finish it off, the Lions and the Cats at the Gabba, while it's the 58th Derby between West Coast and Fremantle. I got told this morning that they've made a list in the West of, what is it, 300 and how many players? 364 players who have played in the Derby through 57, one through 364. You'd be a bit flat if you're 364 this morning in print, I reckon. That's the full catalogue. The full catalogue's been listed.
Who is it?
That's a collector's item.
You know who it is, Jerry.
From 1 tonne to 8 tonne.
You would not have started that discussion not knowing who 364
Supergroups are the masters of Kubota excavators. Yeah.